I'd like to follow up also with just a few words about Hoshana Rabbah. As Rabbi Zirkin said, it feels out of place. We spent the last 7 days celebrating after a Yom Kippur, and now we kind of parachute back into that experience with the Kittel and Shir Hamalos, Mimamakim Kirasicha Hashem, that we'll say tomorrow. So I want to try to follow up with Rabbi Zirkin's idea about it coming from a place of simcha, and try to connect that to the Simcha Space HaShoeva that we're having, to what the Simcha Space HaShoeva means, as well as its connection. Tonight is the seventh day of Sukkot, the Yishpizin of David HaMelech. So I'd like to connect it also to David HaMelech and the life he embodied in a way that seems almost diametrically opposed to the theme of Simcha. The Gemara, as well as the Yalkut Shimoni, observes that Shaul made one, maybe two mistakes, and that's it. He was fired from the job. David HaMelech, he made mistakes, to put it mildly. It's hard to exactly pinpoint what those mistakes were, but he made mistakes, and he confessed that he made mistakes. And despite those mistakes, he was allowed to continue in his descendants. He established an everlasting dynasty. So what was the difference? And the Medrash answers that David had Mesiras Nefesh. David had Mesiras Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be willing to put your life on the line for the cause that he believed in. Proves it from various examples over the course of David HaMelech's life, and for whatever reason, or however it happened, Shaul did not have that characteristic. So at face value, it would seem that Mesiras Nefesh and Simcha are almost opposites. I want to try to explain that it's a very specific type of Mesiras Nefesh, which has to do with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So if we go back a few days, we read Maftir Yonah. We read the story of Yonah. We typically associate Yonah, rightfully so, with the story of Tshuva. Yonah is the paradigm himself and for what he preaches of repenting. He tries to run away Milifnei Hashem, and ultimately he's forced to do Tshuva before God, Lifnei Hashem, as the Rambam says. But in fact, there's actually a lot of connections between Yonah and the Beis HaMikdash, to Yonah and Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and to Yonah and water. So in terms of the Beis HaMikdash itself, so as we said, it's Lifnei Hashem. Yonah ran away from before Hashem. The mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash is to stand before God, to offer sacrifices before God. The sailors who threw him in the water and ultimately became convinced about the truth of Hashem, it says they became, they offered sacrifices to God in the Beis HaMikdash, they became Gerim and went to the Beis HaMikdash. When Yonah is swallowed by the fish, he davens, he says, I want to see your house again. He wants to see the Beis HaMikdash again. And Chazal, building on this theme, connect Yonah's life to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So as it's pretty obvious, if you know the story of Jonah and the whale, there's a lot of connections between water and Yonah, with the throat being drowned in the sea, with the Kikayon plant. But there's actually another connection to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva specifically. The Yerushalmi says that Yonah got his prophecy. He became a prophet when he visited for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Shoeva means to pour. So the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine spirit, poured out from the prophets, and it washed through Yonah, and that's what triggered his career as a prophet. So what's the connection, though? And the Gemara says, from here we see that in order to be a prophet, you need to have Simcha. So what's the connection between Yonah and Simchas Beis HaShoeva? There were other prophets, too. So the B'nai Yisachar and the Chassam Sofer both independently point out that Yonah came from Malchus Yisrael. And in Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, there were guards that prevented people from being Ola Regel. They weren't allowed to make a pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash. Yonah displayed this tremendous amount of self-sacrifice, willing to risk his life to visit. And that somehow created, that thirst for God created that Simcha that allowed him, that served as the catalyst to become a prophet. Another connection, which I think people know less about, is the Gemara in Erevin, which says that Yonah's wife also did Aliyah L'Regel. Women are exempt from being Ola Regel. It's a positive time-bound mitzvah, but with some exceptions that we know about. Elkanah, Shmuel's mother, Chana, and co-wife Penina are some notable exceptions. And the Gemara in Erevin says that Yonah's wife also came. And the Ben Yehoyada says she did it as a kapara for Yonah, that Yonah tried to run away from Hashem. And so Yonah's wife took it on herself to go to the Beis HaMikdash every year after that to be before Hashem. Doesn't say that she went to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva like Yonah did, but it was simply to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So what does this have to do with Yonah's career? So the whole idea of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that it's a happiness as a prelude to pouring water on the base, on the Mizbeach, on the altar. It's the one time a year that we do that. And the Medrash in Brachos that we'll be reading about when the water was divided, that on the second day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Mayim Elyonim, the upper waters in heaven, and the lower waters down in this world. And so the upper waters were close to Hashem, and the lower waters cried out and said, we want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. So Hashem tried to placate them and said, all right, I'll give you two things. The first is that the salt from the seabeds in the ocean will be used on every carbon. It's known as Bris Melach, the covenant of salt. And the second is once a year we'll pour water onto the Mizbeach, into the pipes, and that will be compensation. That'll make you feel better for not being up in heaven. And we don't have time to go into and explore every facet of it, but it's a very bizarre way of equalizing and making them feel better. Okay, salt is the dregs of the sea. It's literally when you evaporate the water, that's all that's left. And also, I don't know if you've ever tried boiling salt. You can't burn salt. It doesn't go up to heaven. Salt gets absorbed and it stays there. It doesn't even turn to ash. You can't burn salt. You can vaporize it, but you can't even do that. Wood fire never gets hot enough. So in the Beis HaMikdash, it was physically impossible to burn salt. So salt could never go up. And the water, they didn't turn the water into steam by adding fire. They literally poured it into the ground, which the Gemara says went down to the core of the earth. It went as low as can be. It doesn't go up at all. So, okay, so there's this, you know, idea. It goes to the center of the earth. It goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But salt, there's mamish, nothing that goes up. So how is this a way to pacify them? So the Beis Yaakov, I think the second Ishbitzer Rebbe, so the Beis Yaakov says that every part of creation has some part that's accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get close, and some part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu quote-unquote rejects and says, you can't come up. And that part cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a yearning for closeness, a thirst, salt, as it were, that you, when you ingest large amounts of salt, you cry out for water with this thirst and this passion. So the Beis Yaakov says that's the avoda of salt. That's the avodas Hashem that salt has. It's not supposed to go up to heaven. It can't go up. It can't be burnt. It's physically impossible. Its job is to stay down here and want to come up. And the water too. The water, okay, that can go down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow. That's its purpose in life. So salt symbolizes a failed or an unrealized dream or aspiration that you had. It's that when you try to do something and it doesn't pan out the way you wanted it to, and you're left with this feeling of, oh, I want it to work out. I wish it could have been different. This is not the reality that I wanted. When Yonah was Moser Nefesh, he was Moser Nefesh for the water, the pure water. Once a year it goes up to heaven or goes down to heaven, however you want to describe it. Once a year, the water can connect with Hashem. And that Mesirish Nefesh, for that perfect reality of literally courting death to be before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see the Nishach HaMayim, that was something that Yonah was willing to lay his life on the line for. But for an imperfect world, the Bris Melach that happens every single day, an imperfect reality, that was something he wasn't willing to do. To get Ninveh to do tshuva so that the Jewish people would be compared to them and said, well, the people of Ninveh are doing tshuva and you guys are not. And even the people of Ninveh, a few generations later, were ultimately destroyed because they reverted to their wicked ways. Yonah said, I don't get what the point of that is. There's no point in being Moser Nefesh for an imperfect cause and for an unrealized dream. And that's why he drowned in the sea of salt water. That became his grave, as it were. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically told him that no, David messed up time and time again. We might not know how he messed up, but we know he messed up. And despite that, he was willing to be Moser Nefesh for the imperfect reality that he had created because it didn't matter. The essence that he wanted was to be Lifnei Hashem. That's why Yonah's wife didn't go for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, even though the Gemara records how there were many, many women that came to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so much so that they had to build a whole auxiliary gallery to fit everybody. But no, she went just to be Lifnei Hashem on any regel, on any Yom Tov, because it doesn't matter whether there's salt, whether there's water. I just want to be Lifnei Hashem. That, I think, is the idea of Hoshana Rabbah. That it's very easy, or it's easier, to sacrifice for a dream that you have, to try to make that perfect vision a reality. It's very easy to do that. It's a lot harder when you know it's not going to be the perfect reality that you want, and that still entails sacrifice. Why should I be willing to give up for a half a dream? Doesn't make sense. It's not worth it for me. And even if I do, I'm not going to be happy about it. Yonah, even in his, you know, sort of half tshuva stage, he still cries, and he wants to die with the kikayon. There's no simcha there. David HaMelech danced before the Aron, despite all of the errors that he had made and would make. Why? Because he wants to be Lifnei Hashem. That is the avoda of Hoshana Rabbah. It's to search for the dreams that you have in life. And some of them may be perfect visions that you can actually create if you sacrifice enough for. And Amir Hashem, I hope you're all zochah to see those visions fulfilled. But sometimes there are also dreams that you have that you know that no matter how hard you work, there's going to be salt. There's going to be an imperfect picture, whether it's myself, some personal aspirations that I have, or aspirations that I have for others in my orbit. There's going to be some salt. So why should I have to sacrifice for that? And even if I feel some pressure to sacrifice for it, why should I be happy about that? And the reason and the simcha that's supposed to happen, that's supposed to be created, is because I'm being Lifnei Hashem. Because that's what I'm willing to die for, not for my dreams. I'm willing to die so I can be happy in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever that plan is, maybe I'm supposed to be water, maybe I'm supposed to be salt, I just want to be Lifnei Hashem. And so I give you all a bracha, that you should all have dreams, and if you don't, I urge you all to get them. Because if not, you're living a half life. You don't know what you're missing if you don't have dreams. They can be as crazy as they are. The bracha is that you should have dreams, that you should be willing to sacrifice for them, even if you know they're not going to pan out the way you like them to. And you should also, when you sacrifice for them, you should also be zochet to be happy with the vision that you create in life, with however much salt is left. Because when it gets mixed into steak, it's really good. It's a good yantif.